gentlemen, everybody else in between, welcome to Jury Talks. My name is Justin Robert Young, jury to friends and family. And if you are listening, you are most likely both at the same damn time. This is a show in which I spill my beans. The beans are my brain pellets that are created when synapses bang together and ideas fall out of my ears and my mouth at the same damn time. It's going to be the new little thing today. At the same damn time. That's the speed in which things happen on this show. Today we're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff. Haircuts. Hillary Clinton. We're talking about Stan Lee. Pretty much everything. The only three things that matter in life. We are going to ping pong between haircuts, Hillary Clinton, and Stan Lee. If you are watching this live on DiamondClub.tv, thank you very, very much. It means a lot to me. We're going to be doing this a little bit more regularly if you are a podcast listener. Normally, this would happen whenever I had any goddamn free time. However, something very important happened over the last couple weeks. Two things. Number one, we switched the schedule of Night Attack. Night Attack being the show that I do with Brian Brushwood. If you're watching live, you can see his smiling face right here in the background. Just to remind me that it is his energy and aura which will always hang over me. But we're moving Night Attack to Sundays. Now, we normally have done this on Tuesdays, and this goes all the way back to NSFW show, all the way back to the BB Live show. So, what are we going to do? I had a really interesting conversation on the Diamond Club Reddit with somebody that was like really pissed off because we didn't let him know that we were moving the live show to Fridays. When at first I was like, what the fuck, man? I am only one man. I can only do so much. And then it kind of came to realize. I got talking to him. He's like, listen, I make plans. I'm an adult. I got a wife. We all get together. It's a fun part of our week. We hang out. We listen to the podcast. We watch it live. We talk in the chat room. So we're leaving really the heart and soul of our live audience, which is a repetition-based business, ladies and gentlemen, alone on Tuesdays. Sure, we're going to have a bunch of people come over to Sundays, but Tuesdays, naked and alone, a raw nerve left to dither in the wind. So, I decided to bring Jury Talks. A bunch of people told me over there at Nerdtacular, which is the second thing that happened, is I went to Nerdtacular. And I had a great time. It was super amazing. It was an amazing experience. There's no other way to put it other than, like, it was life-changing. It was super fun. But I had a bunch of people tell me, Justin, why don't you do Jury Talks more? I like Jury Talks. All right. So I solved both problems. People who want to hear me ramble on like a wild idiot asshole and people not having any kind of live content that is Diamond Club. Flashing the Diamond Club symbol for the live audience watching via video on Tuesdays. And so here we go. This is what we will be doing every Tuesday throughout the summer. Now you might say, Justin, what the fuck's going to happen after that? I say, hold on loosely. Loosely hang on. I don't know. We're going to have fun during this summer. It's going to be our fun little Indian hookup. I meant to say Indian summer. Then I said Indian hookup. Made it sound like you were hooking up with somebody from a reservation or from Calcutta. Either way, it's probably racist. We're going to talk about haircuts. We're going to talk about Hillary Clinton. We're going to talk about Stan Lee. We're also going to talk a little bit about the World Cup because I am now, like, obligated to do it. I'm now a talking head with nothing else to fill but current events. And if we're talking about current events, we've got to talk about the World Cup. If you've never listened to this podcast before, this is how it works. I talk and then I play songs when I take my breath from talking. In the past, what I've done is I've played copyrighted music because I'm like, fuck it. But you want to know what? Since I'm committing to a weekly thing here, I want to maybe get a little bit more serious. I want to maybe do something that I couldn't immediately have taken down. So I'll be playing some indie music as the bumpers from here on out. since I was at Nerdtacular, and at Nerdtacular was also a duo for whom you've seen on NSFW show and are delightful human beings, the Double Clicks. They are going to be who I play for my bumpers today. So this is all; these are all songs from Lasers and Feelings. And that's the titular song we're going to play right now. I'm going to come back and talk about my haircut. Bye.
In first grade, you said I was pretty. In ninth grade, you were quiet but witty. Then you moved out to some other city and became a deranged billionaire.
I had a wild beard. It was super crazy and wild, and it was something that was divisive. And by divisive, I mean Ashley fucking hated it. And it was beginning to start affecting my life. And by affecting my life, I mean it was stopping necessary elements of my life from occurring. I went to go get a bagel the other day. I like my bagels in general, very light cream cheese. Now, I don't mean light in calories. I want the full fucking calorie cream cheese. I just don't want a lot of it. Because I feel like I'm eating some sort of bizarre cake. I want a bagel, not bizarre cake. So I went and I got a bagel, except I forgot to tell them that I didn't want a lot of cream cheese on it. They put a shit ton of cream cheese. Meanwhile, I've got this wild Grizzly Adams beard that begins to decide on its own unilateral decision-making that it's going to stop the cream cheese from getting into my fucking mouth. Now, I could probably say to my beard, what the fuck, man? I'm trying to eat this goddamn bagel. And this beard, with no fault of its own, is like, wait a minute. I thought you didn't like a shit ton of cream cheese. I'm just trying to keep this shit out of here. His beard's looking down at the cream cheese and saying, pa-boom, you shall not pass. And just holding it up in beard jail. And it would happen with soup, too. Anything else. I tried to eat a hot dog. Holy shit, was that a goddamn mess. Ketchup and mustard all over my face like I'm some sort of condiment thief. So I had to eventually get it trimmed. I brought it out to Nerdtacular because the beard has become kind of a character in and of itself, and I will not lie, the beard was more popular than I was. Holy shit, in the parlance of the professional wrestling industry, that beard was over. Over like Ric Flair in the AWA territories. Over like Sting in WCW. Over like Stone Cold Steve Austin in the late 90s. And people were stopping me, pulling on it, taking pictures with it, having a good time. But yet, when I came back, I knew that it was time to get that shit under control. I needed to. So I went over to a place called Slick and Dapper. Slick and Dapper is, if I can be so bold to say, a hipster-ass motherfucking barbershop all up in Oakland, California. It's on Grand Street. I highly recommend it. Now, if you are not around hipster-ass barbershops, let me explain to you what separates a hipster-ass barbershop from a regular motherfucking Supercuts. Things you will see at hipster-ass barbershop you will not see at an average Supercuts. Here's the first. Everybody there, full chest plate tattoos and clothing to show it off. Male or female, doesn't matter. There are two wrens fighting over a olive branch coming down into your chest and a shirt that kind of comes down to just above the nipples. It's one. Two, they're offering you a beer. And I ain't no talking about a fucking paper cup. I mean a glass of beer. Also coffee or water, whatever you want. They're not forcing you to drink. Listen, if you're an alcoholic and you have a chip, they're not going to funnel a fucking beer down your face and say, that's how we roll. It's not, this isn't some sort of bizarre dystopian future in which alcohol is required? No. It's just at your leisure, baby. Now, of course, this is another side thing because you want to drink that shit quick when you're sitting down. You don't want to be holding some sort of liquid while the fur flies above your head right into your drink. You got to take that shit as it comes. Don't wait. See, I'm already giving you tips on hipster-ass barbershops. Here's something else about a hipster-ass barbershop. You know it's a hipster-ass barbershop based on the kinds of prices you will find. And this is for any kind of specialty barbershop. If you are of a certain ethnicity that has certain haircuts and you go to a barbershop that services those kind of haircuts, you're going to see prices for those haircuts. If you go to a barbershop wherein ladies or men normally get hair color treatment, you will see prominently featured hair color treatment prices. But at a hipster-ass barbershop, you see very specific things. For example, I went to go get my beard trimmed as well as a haircut. So I got a shortcut. Boom. There's a price. I got a beard trim. Boom. $10. That's a price right there. Then they also have combos. And you have to understand that if this is a hipster-ass barbershop, you got hipster-ass motherfuckers that are rolling through here. They need specific kinds of haircuts. In the same way that you would have a colored hair treatment, same way you do a fade or a high top, something else that Will Smith would wear in 1992. But at a hipster-ass barbershop, you have the buzz cut and beard trim combo. Folks, that is a hipster combo right there. Because I defy you to walk through any hipster neighborhood and not notice that there is a market need for people to get their head shaved and their beard trimmed because they're hipsters. And boy, do I love going there. It's super fun. I have such a good time. And it's a pretty good cut. I don't know if you guys are taking a look here on YouTube or on the live audio. You can tell this, man, that's a pretty good cut. And the beard kind of got under control. And they kept kind of the peak here, too. Now I look like I should be it's a very Al Borland kind of beard now. Before, it was growing tendrils as if it were an H.P. Lovecraft character. Just, like, snaking all over the place so it could pick it up. But when I was there, I found myself in a bit of a quandary. And it's the quandary that I find myself every single time that I go to a barbershop of any kind. Could be a hipster-ass barbershop. Could be a Supercuts. Could be anything in between. And that's, I don't even know what the fuck I want for my hair. I don't know. I don't know what my hair looks like when it's good. I don't know what it looks like when it's bad. I know when it's too long. I know when I want to cut. I have no idea what to ask for. So what are we doing? Snip, snip, snip. That's what happens. They look at me and they ask me what we're doing. And I have no fucking clue. This is what I say every single time. I don't know. Oh, jeez. I'm not good at this. I cut it. Use scissors and cut my hair. I have one specific note, and I say it every single time, because this has happened to me multiple times. You got to cut the back more than you cut the top, because I have very heavy hair. And if it doesn't get cut high in the back, it goes from fucking regular haircut, short business-like up top, to mullet in the back super fast. So I need that shit fucking taken a little bit further up on the back than I do up top. Other than that, I have no idea. And I'm curious here. Everybody else here in the chat room, who else has a fucking problem? If there's ladies, then let me hear from you. I assume it's more of a guy thing. But let me know. I want to know if it is just me that has these problems. Because it's always a thing. And so this time I'm like, all right, yeah, you know, I don't know, cut it a little bit. Bah, 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 bah. Normally they just let me ramble to the point where they're just annoyed with me. And then they just like, fuck it, whatever. I'll cut your hair, retard. But this time I had yet another part of this annoying conversation because I sat down, I got a haircut and a beard trim, and I go through the, I don't know what, jeez. Finally, she's like, ah, whatever, fine, cool, okay, fine, I'll cut your hair. What do you want your beard trim like? Oh, fuck. That's what I'm saying in my head. Fuck. I don't know. I just kind of want it to not look like I'm homeless. I just kind of want to make it not look like I was born in a lighthouse. I just want to have it not look like I was trying to get cast as Rick Rubin in a movie about the origins of Def Jam. Ugh. So I just said, like, I said, just half. I don't know. Just cut it so I don't look like... Like, people don't look over their shoulders when I'm following them on the street because they assume I'm going to rob them or, you know, indoctrinate them into the Wyatt family. One last thing about the beard, and I feel like now that I have gotten it under control, maybe we will get even more of this. I feel very confident that my beard has landed me between two poles because I've gotten compliments on it. Multiple times on either end. I'll start with the good poll. People have told me that I look like a young George Clooney with the beard. Ooh la la. Looking good. Young George Clooney with the beard? What? Say what? On the other side. Saddam Hussein. And not even just regular Saddam Hussein. Spider hole Saddam Hussein. Taking pictures in his underpants and getting marched to the gallows Saddam Hussein. The worst of all Saddam Husseins. So somewhere between those two. George Clooney, and Saddam Hussein lies me, your humble host, Justin Robert Young. I'm going to get all up in Stan Lee's pussy real quick.
This guy's strong and distant. That guy's kind and meek. Each reminds me of a version of myself I want to be. The school's abuzz with gossip. It's been going on all week. But that's not the decision that the world awaits from me. Alien forces are approaching. The war has been declared. And I don't know why, but I'm the chosen one. And I am scared. I'm a little...
I got a beef, y'all. I got a beef, and it's not only, I said I was going to call out Stan Lee. I'm not going to call it just Stan Lee. Stan Lee's part of it in this specific story, but he's not all of it. I got a problem with our culture. I got a problem with me. I got a problem with you. I got a problem with your friends. All of us together, round it up. We got to have a little meeting. Now, when I say all of us, I mean that very specifically. I mean that there are people out here who have similar tastes and topics, and it is an ever-expanding and growing community. A lot of people call them by names. They call them nerds. Call them geeks. Say nerd culture. Geek culture. And that's fine, right? It's cool. Like it. Gives us a chance. We can identify ourselves. If you're writing your little Twitter bio, geek, nerd, somebody else who considers himself a geek, nerd, can identify it. It's an easy linguistic way that we can say a lot in a few letters. DoubleClicks, who I'm playing today, they would probably get labeled as geek rock or nerd rock. Why? Because they're singing about superheroes. They're singing about Mr. Darcy. They're singing about a bunch of shit that people with glasses would find interesting. And by and large, as a identifier for the community, I have no beef. Here's where I have a beef. I read a story today about the second annual Geeky Awards. The Geeky Awards. And I don't know whether or not these are real. I don't know if people watch them. I don't know whether or not it's a huge thing. But it got my motherfucking goat. My goat was gone. I fucking walked into the kitchen, poured myself an Arnold Palmer at the same damn time. Two fucking pitchers. Boom, Arnold Palmer. And then I walked back out. Somebody fucking took my goddamn goat, and I'll swear to God it was the motherfucking Geeky Awards. Honoring filmmakers, game designers, and all the rest. And I get all up in the Geeky Awards shit, not because I don't appreciate what they're doing, because we have all been there. You've been there. You're watching the Oscars or the Grammys or the Golden Globes and some other random shit that's way less awesome than the horror or science fiction or fantasy movie that you really love wins all the awards, despite the fact that it's not as good of a product and you didn't enjoy it as much. So we got to go to our own little ghetto and we got to give them awards. It's fine. I understand the need for it. I'm all for it. Here's what I'm not for. Why does it need to be geeky? Why do we need to define the highlight of our culture, the best works that are done in a given period of time, with a pejorative? Why can't we call it anything else? Doesn't have to be, you know, something weird, right? It can be something irreverent. It doesn't have to be boring, is what I'm saying. Doesn't have to be the Academy of Recording Things that involve at least one vampire and or robot. Doesn't have to be that. You can name them the Awesome Awards. Ooh. There's an idea. The Awesome Awards. Because that's kind of a geek thing, right? We say awesome a lot. But this way, it doesn't have to be a pejorative. Because there's a lot of other niche awards that give things out. They don't name their awards after pejoratives. GLAAD does not call their top awards the award. And if you said the word that I was about to say, then you're a homophobe. The NAACP does not call their top award the award. Because if you said what I was about to say, you are a racist. Chinese people don't call them. All right, I can do that all night. It does just annoy me. It just really, like, I don't know why we can't let ourselves have confidence. Is it because that's partly why we are gathered together? Because at some point we did not or we do not have confidence. And so therefore, in our community, we define ourselves by the pejorative that is given to us by a majority that does nothing but cut down our achievements. Maybe. We've reclaimed the word, that's for sure. CMT says geek isn't a pejorative. certainly started out as one. Geek is used as a pejorative. No, it's not used as a pejorative. Awesome. No one says, hey, awesome. And if they do, they're being straight sarcastic. You can say, oh, he's a geek, in an even tone of voice, and it means something. And it very rarely, until the recently, did it mean anything necessarily good. Now it means something good because we've kind of taken over. But before, it didn't. The pencil neck geek, the kid who got sand kicked in his face on the beach while the muscle-bound retard took the girl. Beef says, I'm confident I'm a loser. Yummy waffles. I'm choking on all the hyperbole. It's just annoying. I just don't know why it bothers me. Maybe you guys can help me explain. We'll revisit this at the end. Before I go to the next song, let me remind everybody that if you would like to watch this live, we are on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on DiamondClub.tv, the home of all Diamond Club streaming entertainment, and on Alpha Geek Radio. Thank you very, very much to Todd Whitehead, who helped me set up on that today. If you've never listened to this show before, understand that at times it gets political, and it will indeed get political after this.
Moment, your time, we have asked for your input. You can say whatever you want. For one shining second, you're offered the spotlight. You can choose to take it or not. You might think that you're funny or being ironic, but it's an old joke we've all heard. And when it comes to it, really, when all said and done, you're still the guy who yelled "Free Bird." Why did you?
Damn, do I love the double clicks. Double clicks are so good. In fact, everybody right now who's watching live, go ahead on over and tweet out the double clicks and say that Justin's playing your music on his thing and that that you're awesome. And if you want to go buy their new album, I believe it's Dimatron. Dimatron is available, if not now, it'll be available soon. But the songs I'm playing are from Lasers and Feelings. That was their last record. So go ahead and check that out. I was going to talk about politics, but I realized there was some other stuff. We're going to do a little hot takes. Hot takes! We got hot takes here. If you're not familiar with hot takes, they're dumb, boring opinions that people have on popular topics. In fact, there are some people who make their entire career just shoveling hot take after hot take any which way but loose. It's their job. It's what they do. So I got some hot takes. Hot take number one. Soccer. Everyone's giving a fuck about soccer. Do I give a fuck about soccer? I don't know. Sometimes. Does it make me a shitty person to just be a fan of the World Cup? Because I kind of don't give a fuck about anything else. Like, I don't know enough. It's annoying, especially on the West Coast, to wake up and watch soccer matches around the world because that's where all the best leagues are. And then when I watch an MLS game, it's just, you know, it ain't the same. It ain't the World Cup. World Cup's a specifically unique situation. It would be like someone who only ate hot dogs on the 4th of July. Would we call that person an asshole? Would you fucking make that person feel bad about himself or herself or itself if it were a creature of some sort? Because all they wanted to do was eat hot dogs on the 4th of July. I only like to watch the World Cup. It's really rad. Everybody agrees it's really rad. No one's like, what the fuck, man? World Cup kind of sucks. And like, if you hate sports, you say that. But nobody who likes soccer is like, I very much prefer La Liga to the World Cup competition. It's just a little too exciting for me. Nobody says that. Everybody loves it who loves soccer. And I very much enjoy it. I watched today, Germany, they fucked Brazil so hard that it was an embarrassment. I mean, and Brazil is a place known, like, for fucking. That's like what that country was built on. Beaches, fucking, and slums. Boom. And yet the fucking they were administered by the Germans was just ridiculous. It was so much that they broke the heart of the poor British announcers. Oh my God, were they so upset? No one's even marking him. That's what Steve McNeniman, as I learned, the announcer. It's just amateur hour. It's amateur hour. He kept saying over and over again. And he just wanted it to be better. And meanwhile, they keep going to the crowd. They got these crazy high frame rate cameras so they can slow shit down to like every second. And you just see tears slowly forming in the eyes of Brazilian children. And I can't imagine that when that technology was invented, when it was like, finally, we've perfected the high frame rate camera and we can bring super slow motion to an entirely new level. That they were like, let's point it at a kid whose heart is broken and watch him cry. And yet that's what happened. ESPN paid millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars for a once every 4 year event that plugs into none of their other programming so they could point a high frame rate camera at a child from Brazil. I mean, I guess he was in the stadium, so he had to be from a fairly rich family, but just so they could cry in front of him. What a fucked up world. That being said, I really like soccer. I like the World Cup. It's going to be hard to see the Germans not winning because they just, wow. OMG, wow. Here's another hot take. The reason why I am doing this right now is because I have a fascination with radio. I've loved radio programs for all of my adult life. I used to get up early so I could listen to the morning radio shows in South Florida, specifically the Bobby and Footy Show. It was about as hacky could get. But when I was a kid, I very much loved it. I loved listening. I bought all their parody song albums because I loved parody songs, all their best bits. And they'd have all these bits about fucking old baseball players that I never knew who they were, but I liked the voices. I thought it was funny. I enjoyed the music. It's great. As I got older, started to listen to more talk radio because I really liked the talking element of it. I listened to Howard Stern, and then eventually I made friends with a dude named Harry Turjanian who lived in New York. He lived in South Florida for a little bit, wound up moving back up to New York, and let me know about a radio show called Opie and Anthony. Whenever I was in New York, I would make sure that I listened to the Opie and Anthony program. Now, I never really did it all that much, but eventually I wound up moving to New York City. Opie and Anthony had long since been off terrestrial radio. They were now on XM. So I bought myself an XM receiver so I could listen to Opie and Anthony. You might have heard that the Anthony part of Opie and Anthony is now no longer relevant to that show. He's been fired from Sirius XM. It is because of a string of what has been characterized and is hard to defend as not racially charged, if not racist, tweets. Now, to define and parse exactly what is between racially charged and racist, we'll leave to somebody else. I think that his tweets were unfortunate, and if you follow his Twitter, I think he has put himself in these kind of actionable situations more than was probably appropriate. Was it enough for him to lose his job? I don't know. I mean, listen, that's Sirius XM's decision, and they have already made it. So it was enough for them to fire him. That's fine. You know, it's their thing. But it made me think, where is my, and I'm a huge fan of the work of Anthony Cumia. Let me just say that out and out. And that if there is one person for whom I would want in this world, in the talking into a microphone world, there's one person that I would want to have the skills of, it is Anthony Cumia, and it is not close. The only other person that I would say that you know, has just the full-ass D&D card of all the skills you need, this is going to be yet another really unpopular name, but it's Rush Limbaugh. That dude does a one-mic radio show, the likes of which nobody has ever seen, and it's popular for a reason beyond the politics. I don't agree with much of what Rush Limbaugh says. In fact, to say it was over 20% would be charitable. And that 20% is usually when he just goes on tirades about Apple products. But Anthony Cumia, somebody who's extraordinarily funny, extraordinarily quick, does a ton of impressions, is really on the spot when it comes to just pushing the conversation in a different or weird area. And it is something that I've always wanted to bring to the podcast world. Which is ironic, since now Anthony Cumia will likely be starting a regular podcast. So really, let's go ahead and do that. Let's make it that. I, Justin Robert Young, you want to know what? Anthony Cumia comes down the mountain. He has been cast out by the higher-ups, the ivory tower, as it were. SiriusXM, the land of guaranteed money, but you want to know what else they guarantee? They guarantee they have control of your soul. So right here, in the borderlands between there and where you are headed, I greet you in a green Diamond Club shirt, and I say welcome, Anthony Cumia, to the world of podcasting, the world of financial riskiness, the world of uncensored speech, the world of watching your iTunes ranking and freaking out whether or not it goes up or down. Welcome to you, good sir. You're going to do a show that is far better than almost anybody else who does one right now. And I, for one, very excited to be able to hear his work again, because my XM receiver got stolen out of my car so many times that I decided to just cancel my subscription. We will get into politics, and that politics begins right after this.
I fell in love. It had so many brilliant thoughts that made me say me too. And you had conversations with the people I respect. The best celebrities retweeted you. The first time that I saw your site, my jaw dropped to the floor. I thought I was the only one who still liked MST. You're cooler than anyone in my town or in my state. We were online BFFs and everything was great. But then I met you in real life and now the mystery's gone. Mystery's I don't wanna gone. Have your babies anymore. In real life you are just as lame as everybody else. And we can never get back to how it was before.
I wonder who that was about, that song. That's like the You're So Vain of nerd rock. What's it about? Who's it about? What random podcast host / stand-up comedian is that about? I don't know. We'll never know. One day I'll just pester the Double Clicks. They're coming to Oakland. I'll just really just bother them until they tell me. I mentioned before that sometimes we talk about politics. Let's talk about politics.
Politics, 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 politics. Yes.
I'm going to explain to you a political issue in the only way that I know how, and that is through professional wrestling. Right now, Hillary Clinton, I don't know if you're familiar with her. She was the former first lady of this country. She used to be a senator. She used to be a secretary of state. Now she's just a lady. But God damn it, if she ain't a lady who's got designs on the White House herself. She wants to shatter that highest, hardest glass ceiling, which is kind of what she wanted to do 8 years ago when she got blown out by Barack Obama. But now it's for real. She wants to be the gender-flipped party opposite Nixon, the person that everybody wanted to bury, everybody thought had their best chance, and then rose from the grave, a political impossibility to seize the greatest office in the land. There is a problem that she is facing. And it is a little bit disturbing if you are a fan of hers, because she doesn't seem to be able to get over it. Now, politics is about as crazy of a game as it gets. And this is about as rational of a conversation as we're ever going to have about this. Because once it gets into the election season, you will totally eat, survive, and rationalize any fault that your candidate has. You'll make up all sorts of reasons why it really doesn't matter, and anybody who brings it up is really only trying to bring them down because they have a competing agenda. However, here's the problem with Hillary. Hillary keeps talking about how poor she was. Poor. Now, I'm going to get to in a second why that isn't such a crazy idea. And I don't think that she's lying. I don't think that she is just putting on an artifice. I think that there is a rationale in her head that makes sense. But let me give old Hill a little advice. I'm going to put on my wrestling trunks, or maybe even just pull up my stonewashed blue jeans as I sit in the back with the rest of the creative crew from a bygone territory, and I'm going to let Hillary Clinton know that there is sometimes when you have an angle disconnection. Angle disconnection. Angle in professional wrestling is your storyline. The underdog fighting against the overpowered villain. The hometown kid who wants to beat the outsider. The American who wants to punch the foreigner in the face because the foreigner keeps talking about how America's filled with assholes. So we are an asshole enough to punch him in the face for it. That's the angle. Key element of an angle is its believability. When it comes to emotions, believability isn't really all that hard. You just need to believe, to suspend your disbelief that the authenticity of the character holds up. When your brain does the little math in your head, everything comes out in the wash. So, for example, let's go with the racist. You have foreign person, whoever. Back in the day, it would be the Iron Sheik. Today, in the modern WWE, it would be a performer like Rusev. Iron Sheik was from Iran, Rusev from Russia. Effectively the same character. They're big, overpowered people who want to talk shit about America. All they have to prove to you is that they fucking hate America. So looking like somebody who's a foreigner is half of it. And the other half is talking legitimate shit about America. And this is what makes wrestling brilliant, is because that criticism can kind of also be true, which is really fun. But every once in a while, you have an angle disconnection with the audience, meaning when the audience does the math in their head, things don't all add up. If you have a performer who is way smaller than a larger performer, it starts to stretch believability when the 5'6" luchador can kick the ass of the 8-foot-tall monster. You need to have a reason why this is happening. So the luchador can beat the monster if another performer comes down, hits the monster in the head with a chair, and rolls the luchador on him. That's believable. If he just walked up into the ring and started punching him, and the monster was like, oh no, my eye! And then laid down, 1, 2, 3, count the lights, pin me, pay me, job squad style. Everybody goes home. The audience will react weird to it because it doesn't make sense. If you saw somebody that was 4 feet tall beat up an 8 foot tall person, it would be the craziest thing you've ever seen because it never happens. People are like, that's what kayfabe is for. But even in kayfabe, which is the secret laws of wrestling, or the idea that you are suspending disbelief, it needs to be believable. So let's get back to why Hillary Clinton thinks talking about how poor she is a good idea. Because the Clintons are not from a rich family. All the big money that they have made in their lives, they have begged, borrowed, and stolen throughout their political career. They have made a name for themselves, and they can trade off that name through the connections that they've made. I'm not going to get into how illegal it has been alleged some of their shit is, but if you want to look up Whitewater, you can, sure. Let's just focus on everything being on the up and up. In politics, you don't... spend your own money if you don't have to. You don't. Nobody does. It is almost viewed as a sign of weakness. Like you are failing your first governing challenge. You need to raise the hopes of those around you. They give you money. You run. You win. You then take those principles into whatever governing office that you have. The Clintons are no stranger to that. They have tried to not use their own money. Now here, Joey Himage, who is an actual wrestler who I met at Nerdtacular, is in the chat room right now saying that I'm exposing the business. Ha ha ha. I am. I'm also going to expose the political business. Here's what happens when you lose a campaign. You go to everybody else who is still in the race and you say, would you like me to endorse you? Now, when you are in a primary race specifically, this is a big bargaining chip because everybody has certain blocks of voters. Some people are strong with, let's focus on the Democratic primary because that's who we're talking about. Some people are very strong with women. Some people are very strong with gays. Some people are really strong with unions. Some people are really strong with Mexicans. Some people are really strong with blacks, right? Somebody goes out. Now, all of a sudden, you can say, oh, I am strong with blacks, gays, and the union, but you are strong with women and Mexicans. If you endorse me, more women and Mexicans who I am weak in will like me because you like me. So the person who just got voted out says, that's fine, but I don't fuck for free. I'm going to need a little bit of this cash because I ran a big debt running this campaign and I need it paid back. So this is what happens with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Hillary not only ran, she ran out of money and started dipping into her own fortune, her own bank account. She was at negative money leaving her bid for the White House 8 years ago. So she went to Barack Obama. She said, hey, listen, you want me to endorse you? It'll give you a big boost going forward. The unity ticket. Give me some money. And I think it happened a little bit, if you read Game Change, then she gets into the White House. It's like, all right, yeah, I don't know, maybe Secretary of State. I still got some of these bills, motherfucker. How about you pony up a little bit of that coin? Cha-ching! I believe it happened there as well. So in the world of politics, it makes sense that she would say she is broke. However, here's where the two come together. There is an angle disconnection, a narrative disconnection because the average person doesn't look at somebody who has spent time in the White House and somebody who has a plane that, at least in small lettering, has their name on it as broke. They don't view them as sympathetically broke. Whether or not in their head or in the political reality of things, they were actually broke. So what does she do about it? Well, probably stop talking about fucking money for 5 seconds. Talk about how there were similar situations, but it's nothing like the average person suffers through. It's nothing like having to choose whether or not you're going to feed your family or heat your house. Nothing like that. The words broke should not even be close to her face. Because let me tell you about another person who wound up getting boxed into a narrative thing. Mitt Romney, in last year's election, is somebody who had a narrative cohesion. He looked like a big, tall robot that only ran when you grinded up money and then shoved it in his ear, and then his eyeballs lit up and he made his face move because he was an inhuman money golem. Is that who he really was? No, by any account. You watch that Netflix documentary. Seems like a reasonably nice guy. And yet he was painted as that, and he did nothing to stop that narrative. So, Hillary, with her narrative, her angle disassociation, doesn't make sense that she's claiming she's broke. Risks looking like somebody who will lie or do anything that she can to get into office if she portrays herself as something that is too far for the general voting public to buy. And that is Justin Robert Young's Use Wrestling to describe
politics, 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 politics. Yes.
All right, we're going to bring this bad bitch to a close right after this.
Words weren't mean, they were weird, and that worked for me after 10 years of teasing. When social skills failed me, Dungeons and Dragons cured all that ailed me. We read books, we played games, we made art, we watched Lost, we said things like D20, shipping and mana cost. It felt good to be myself, not being mocked, still self-conscious though. We whispered things about jocks, but one day you grow up, come into your own. Now geek's not rejection, it's a label I own. Then ignorant hate.
Folks, if you were watching live, you saw on the DiamondClub.tv page that I am looking for a video game to let's play right after I get done recording. And I am here to give you those results. Let's go ahead and take a look. Fourth place, we have 1,001 spikes. In third place, we have Child of Light. In number two, we have Dust and Elysian Tale. For the video game I'm going to be let's playing, y'all, Spelunky! And I might see if I can coax the lovely and beautiful and talented Ashley Paramore to play with me. That about wraps it up for this edition of the Jury Talks Podcast. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can go ahead and do it. That is Justin R. Young on Twitter. If you want to watch this live, you can go ahead and do it at the DiamondClub.tv site every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, you can watch the Night Attack show. That's me and the man who sits without moving his face over my shoulder. That is Brian Brushwood. Get the video version of this show at my YouTube, youtube.com/JustinRobertYoung. And folks, until next time, and that next time will be next week, I implore you, ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor. Your old pal, Jerry, please don't die. See you next week.